black is, the source from which all things come, the security blanket for the stars. Understand what black is. It's not a color, it's the basis of all colors. It is not a complexion, it is a reflection of all complexions called human. And out of this blackness, passion flows like a river. Feelings tell the truth. Song and dance and making you laugh are family members. Understand what black is. The breath you breathe, the sweat on your brow, the cheers and the tears balancing the world on your head. Faith is the glue that holds us all together. This is your blackness, not some horror story of lost souls.
You're listening to the Tom Ficklin Show on WNHH LP 103.5 FM, your home for community radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Black History Month. It's also President's Day, and I have the kind of pleasure of kind of celebrating, really celebrating my existence, their existence, your existence, in this 24/7, 365 kind of paradigm of where are we in this sojourn of life. I have the pleasure of having Reverend Leroy Perry with me, Irene Saunders, and Lillian Reason, and we're going to talk about health and wealth and success and generations and really, what does it mean to be black? But what does it mean to be a human being? And how can we make sure that future human beings are healthy, are thriving, are successful, and really participating fully in what this experiment that we call life? And I use the term experiment, Reverend Perry and Irene and Lillian, because we know that whether it's the official experiments now or unofficial experiments, or just people even experiment with their own life in terms of what the food they eat and what they drink. And so we know that this human decision-making is sometimes complicated, but we're really going to focus on something called the ambassadors and the Yale Center for Clinical Investigation and the cultural ambassadors and the church and how a particular denomination of our black church experience is involved. And we're going to celebrate 10 years of existence for this particular partnership. It's a real partnership between the Amy Zion Church and the Yale Center for Clinical Investigation. There's an event coming up end of this month that everyone's invited to. It's free. Free, F-R-E-E, free. I mean, certainly your time is valuable, but it's a free event. It's during the workday that you may be interested in on diversity and inclusion. And so we're going to try to avoid the buzzwords, but it's no question that we're here in 2020, early in February on President's Day, kind of celebrating who we are, what we are, and what we want to become, and what we want our future generations to become. And really what you do today, everyone that's listening, does impact, whether you want to believe it or not, the future. It does impact the future. Things are not necessarily ordained, but you can be a change maker. Reverend Perry, kind of maybe kick us off, and Irene, kind of jump in, and Lillian, you can also, I'll allow you to say a few words. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Okay. Reverend Perry, please kind of kick us off.
Okay. So today we want to just kind of highlight this partnership with the YCCI and the Amy Zion Culture Ambassadors, who are partners. I would say since it is Black History Month, it is important to note that our participation is historic, and it is also relevant in the sense that the Amy Zion Church is, for the most part, always been in the forefront when it comes to liberation and the wellness of our people as a whole. So when we talk about the YCCI and the partnership with Yale, let me start by simply saying health does not begin with Yale, nor Yale New Haven Hospital, nor St. Raphael's. Health begins with each of us, and that's why taking control of our health is so important.
Yes.
So even before we got to Yale, that was a question of our health. And maybe the disparity had to deal with the fact that many of us had some barriers to having quality health. Like either our doctors did not give us the proper time or attention that we may have needed, particularly to illnesses and diseases that adversely affect African Americans. One out of 25 African Americans will die of heart disease. But when we go see our doctor, he gives us a checkup in 30 minutes. We don't see him again for 6 months to a year. So we have to start taking charge of our health, yes. You know. And so in so doing, when we partnered with Yale, one of the things that we discovered was that many of the new drugs and research that was out there, African Americans were not aware of.
Mm.
Nor were they participating in those research studies. And so once we got on board, we changed the trajectory of where that research was going and headed. And I think we made some significant changes in the outcomes.
Excellent. Irene and Lil, kind of jump in, because you guys have been involved with this trajectory and this sojourn and this liberation tactic, if I can use that word.
Yes, Tom. I am a registered nurse, and I've spent 35 years working in an inner city hospital, which did make me very much aware of the disparities in healthcare for Black and Brown people.
Mm-hmm.
But as a cultural ambassador, it gives me an opportunity to use my voice to be audible in the community, to say to my community that clinical research with Yale gives us many choices. That we are stakeholders in our health, and that we must take ownership of our health, because our very lives depend upon it.
Absolutely. And that might sound like an exaggeration, but it's so literally true. Lillian?
One of the things that I've been privileged to do is to serve as the president of the missionary department in our denomination for our district.
Mm.
And because of that, we have 15 churches. And because I am an educator, I was in New Haven for 37 years, and I love to inform.
Mm.
And so when I get new information, I bring it back to the people that I serve. And so that has happened on many occasions. Some of the different information that I've learned, I've been able to come back and bring it to a meeting, bring it to the women of the church, because we're normally the caregivers, and so that they can have this new information, they can ask the questions, and it can help them in their families.
And if people, that's really so helpful what the three of you have shared. If just, again, you listen to the Tom Ficklin Show, and Reverend Perry is with us, and Irene Saunders. Like, what do I have? Yeah, Irene Saunders. I'm thinking that there's an Irene Saunders out of Atlanta that I have in mind as well. But you know, who knows? You may even be related somehow, and the Lillian Reason. But if folks want more information on how they can get involved with the becoming or exploring the cultural ambassadors, or attending events, or finding out about YCCI, or you know, participating in these clinical trials, and even just going to the link and reading about them and sharing that information, I found when you go to the link and read about the trials underway, it's really fascinating. It makes you your mind can get really, really stimulated.
Yes. And I think, Tom, we can talk about knowing our history. It is Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
And as Black and Brown people, we need to be aware of our family history.
Yes.
And that needs to be a part of the conversation.
Yes.
If my grandma or mom had breast cancer, or if grandpa had prostate cancer, that is not a family secret, but that's information that we need to talk about.
Yes.
That we need to have a conversation about, get that information out among our family members, because that will be a gateway to helping our younger generation to be healthier and to live longer. So there is a website that people can go on to find out about these clinical trial studies that are being offered. Help us discover. They can call a number 1-877-978-8343 or visit yalestudies.org.
Indeed, and we're going to repeat that also at the end, because just as you were talking, Irene, I'm thinking of what flashed through my mind was my nephew and my grandson and stepson, and they're, you know, their 20s and 30s. But again, and Leroy, you probably agree, when we were at that age, we weren't thinking about our family history, and not really being so proactive. But it's so, so important to kind of look into your history. I know my sister passed away from colon cancer, and I was looking through some ancestry.com things and saw that my grandmother passed away from tuberculosis. So it's just fascinating to kind of find these things out. But you had an event this weekend, a prostate breakfast, because I want people to kind of visualize how you don't have to go to the hospital to get the information. Although, Lillian, we could call you to get the information, but there's other ways also.
Yeah, I think that as an advocate, what we're trying to do is to bring the message to members of our community. Mm. And since African-American men die 2 times at a rate greater than any other man on the planet, it's important that we have this conversation with them. Mm. The digital exam, PSA exam, this conversation they need to have with their doctor, the frequency of going to get checked yearly.
Mm-hmm.
And what age does that start? And what age might that end? And what are the different forms of treatment that are out there? I mean, like 30 years ago when they were doing surgery, and not robotic surgery, many people suffered from just minor mishaps in the operating room. Now the technology is so advanced, the doctor's not even in the same room. And the procedures are almost 99% more effective than they were in the past. So, you know, we just have to get this message. We have to get this message out.
And jump to the three of you, kind of jump to this at the end of the month, and we'll come back to this again, but there's an event that's open to the public. And the reason I'm encouraging folks to kind of, I'm assuming they might kind of live stream it, or at least it might be a recording of it. But let's jump to the event at the end of the month, because this is 2020, and certainly there have been advances in technology and advances in medical treatment, but still it's somewhat of an open question about how do we really abolish some diseases, and the federal government's involved with these things in terms of the National Institute of Health and pharmaceutical industry and approvals for treatment and experiments. So there's an event this in the end of this month that really, and I looked at the schedule, there's some high-powered people coming to this.
Absolutely.
This is a national, you know, the word innovation and summit.
Well, we had this this summit last year or the year before, and the Henrietta Lacks family participated in that study. But one of the things that I think that's critical is getting the information. And since it's African American History Month, just let me say that if the information is not correct, the story is not told correct, then we don't have the information.
Mm-hmm.
And that is crucial to, I think, to the success of our endeavors. I mean, the mere fact that the FDA is partnering with Yale in this endeavor speaks volumes.
The Food and Drug Administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Federal Food and Drug Administration, the Office of Minority Health and Health and Equity Diversity. That is so important because it ought to suggest to everyone that we're doing a great job. And then what we're doing, the federal government even is looking at that and saying, you know what, let's work with them because we have the same aim, and that is to get the message out to our community that these research studies do help, do work, and are saving lives.
So folks can kind of register. It's helpful, although it's free, it's helpful to kind of register so they can have an idea of the...
Yes.
Do you have the...
Oh, they can just go online to the... to the website, Yale Center for Clinical Investigations, or just Google Yale School of Medicine, FDA, and then there's a link at the bottom of the page where they can just sign up. But even if they don't sign up, we welcome them to come.
That's absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Lillian?
Recently, we had 2 different clinical trials started at Varick. It was one on sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And we had parents to come in to teach them how important sleep is to their children's health.
Yes.
Then we had the children to come in, and they were able to talk to, they were teenagers, and they were able to talk about their sleep habits, and they were made aware. They weren't aware of how much sleep they actually needed in order to be healthy.
Mm.
And for them to actually say it, so that they can start now being advocates for their own health by getting the proper amount of rest. It's that simple. And when people start getting information and hearing it and taking ownership of it, it makes a difference. I had another conversation with a lady at our missionary meeting on Monday night here at Varick, and she was talking about, they're just experimenting. And I said, you need to follow the facts instead of just hearing something. How can you prove what you're saying? And I was telling her about, she had to be an advocate for herself, but don't talk negatively until you can prove what you're saying. So you can change people's minds if you're actually dealing with them.
Indeed. And Irene, just before I come to you, Lillian, talk about that. When you mentioned the sleep study, that's so important because people often think of these clinical trials as really being invasive and harmful and just and uncomfortable to kind of go through it. But something like even a sleep study, I got to tell you, I'm raising my hand in acknowledgement, I got my sleep apnea machine 7 months ago, and I should have gotten it 10 years ago. I know I should have gotten this machine 10 years ago. And something as simple as that. Go ahead.
Also, I was involved with another sleep study that dealt with babies and training parents how to get their children down and comfortable and ready to go to sleep. They had to be taught. A lot of parents don't know. And so the kids are watching videos or they're up and then they don't get the proper amount. Again, that causes more illnesses because they're not getting proper rest.
Yes.
So there were parents that were, I worked with Megan O'Connell, and she went through it with me, and there were others in that study, and they actually talked to parents, and they trained them about how to get the baby calm, how to put them in a way that they would definitely relax before sleeping.
Yeah.
And so if they start off with them as babies, by the time that they're teenagers, they will already be practicing the correct mode of sleeping. And they will know how important it is.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
Well, Tom, we're excited about the summit on the 28th because as Black and Brown people, we need to get to the table. We have to be participants in clinical research. It's not an option for us, but it's a necessity. If we're participants, we can change the game. We can change these numbers. We can change the statistics because most of the diseases that plague our community are hereditary diseases. So if we participate, we can change the statistics for our younger generations. Maybe I won't see it in my lifetime, but maybe in my daughter's lifetime or her children's lifetime that these diseases will change for us and we can live longer and live better lives.
And also, Tom, I'd just like to add that sometimes
Reverend Perry, you'll get a word in we're outnumbered here. We're not really outnumbered, but there's two. They're powerful. It's the Me Too movement. So go for it, Lillian.
In one of the meetings on the district, there was a presentation made. And one of the ladies, after the presentation had been made about one of the clinical trials, she stood up and testified that she had been in a clinical trial, in that clinical trial, and that how successful it was. And by her testifying, that helped some of the other ladies allay their fears.
Yes. And Delina, Irene, before we go to Reverend Perry, talk a little bit about that psychological dynamic of just the hesitance and the skepticism.
Yes. That's what we're doing as cultural ambassadors. We want to be the face for our community to let them know that we can trust clinical research, that it's a way to give us more choices to treatment. There is some history that brings negative thoughts, but we're trying to change those thoughts and make them positive because if we participate, we can change the outcomes. We can change the statistics going forward.
Indeed. Reverend Perry?
Well, let me say, I'm not sure all clinical research is what it ought to be, but what we do is we do talk to the researchers that are doing particular forms of clinical research so that we go to the table and back to our communities with an understanding of exactly what that research will entail. So when we, part of what we do is advocacy.
Yes.
And so what we we look at illnesses and diseases that affect us. Yale brings in top professionals and those who may be doing research in that particular field. We sit down with them. We question them. They question us. They ask us, you know.
It's interactive, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a collaboration. And at the same time, you know, if we are not in agreement with them, we will not work with them. We have that option. And that's a good thing. They did a study once that had to do with some kind of mind control or something. And we decided, no, we ain't dealing with that. That may be going beyond, that may be stretching where our community, the needs of our community are at this particular time. So in terms of getting this information and then being advocates for it. So as Lil said, when they did the sleep study, that sleep study was open to all of our ambassadors to encourage our members to go and get the word out to the community. And it's not only us, but Junta, who works with us, is a part of what we do to make an impact in New Haven area and in neighboring communities. But even beyond that, we go the extra mile by having in our churches health fairs.
Yeah, well, tell us about the breakfast. You had a breakfast. I guess my invitation is kind of coming down. Next year. It's post-dated.
I won't talk about that, Tom, because I'm on your show.
Well, you had a breakfast.
But I looked for Tom Ficklin and the media folk to be there, and I kept going to the door.
Yes, indeed.
But
like Lazarus, you know. But
the idea was if we can get the message out, to not only the men, because we say it's a breakfast and we're focusing on men's health, but we want the women to come.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes,
if we can get the women involved, we can get the men. And sometimes the women are the ones who will say to their husbands or their fathers or their sons,
that's right,
this is, your health is so important to you and to your children and your children's children. So in that sense, not only at Varick or at St. Stephen's or Mount Olive or Cross Street or any of our partners, we all do this. And individually, when we meet people and we talk to people, we go to events, if we have that opportunity of giving voice, we do. And let me say, I do a fatherhood program for men who come out of jail. They have no place to live. They have no job. And it's very difficult for them to get a job. These are sometimes young men. Sometimes these are men who've been in jail for 20 years or 15 years. And they come out and face incredible adversities. I bring to them the message about how important it is for them to take charge of their health.
That's right.
And so one of the things that we do is Irene comes and she does a blood pressure check. And other things. I mean, she discovered that while she was doing a blood pressure check that one individual had diabetes. And she was able to get him a kit and bring it to him and to discuss with him, you know, how important it was for him to eat right and to do his blood sugar.
So the early diagnosis, really.
So what we're doing is we're making an incredible impact, I think, just by being advocates.
Well, I hear more than just, you're putting your labor and love in the practice and just not the verbal explanation.
Yes,
it is a labor of love, and it's educating people because knowledge is power. And if we can teach people to be better advocates for themselves and be better stewards over their health, change their diets, eat better, when they can make better choices to choose fresh fruit instead of reaching for the donut sometime or take a walk as the weather is getting better.
Yes.
For parents to get their children outside and let them run and play instead of being stuck in front of the television or the computers. Because childhood obesity is something that is a problem in our Black and brown children. It's bringing about an awareness. It's teaching. And it's empowering people, making them knowledgeable, therefore being able to be better advocates for themselves.
And one of the other things is that the literature is really great. And whenever I go to meetings, I make sure that I have information that I can give to people. And I said, read for yourself. Check out these websites because you need this information to help. And I tell the women, please take care of your husband. And this was one way when we had the recent prostate information.
Not the breakfast that we missed.
Not that breakfast.
Okay.
No, I wasn't invited either. But we went to, I handed out the literature because I wanted them to be aware. Sometimes you could hear something, but sometimes when you read it, it makes more meaning
indeed
for you. And so,
We're in trouble. You know that.
Yes.
You know that. So we've got to leave early.
I have to address this disparity.
The disparity of the invitations?
Yes. You see, well, what I want you to understand
Please preach.
I don't try to go to every church.
Yes.
To go to every breakfast.
Yes.
To go to every outreach that they may have for health.
Yes.
If I did that, I would have no time for myself.
Indeed, for your body, mind, spirit.
So I don't try to pull everybody in from everybody.
Because you're compassionate
about
others.
Y'all already busy.
You're very busy.
Y'all busy doing y'all thing. As James Brown said, I'm trying to do my thing.
I understand. And I appreciate that compassion, too.
It's important that, you start with the particular and you move to the general.
Yes.
I'm dealing with people in Branford. And that's my focus right now with the church. So I'm not trying to get everybody in necessarily, but I'm just trying to
start. I'm going to apply for my passport to Brentford.
But let me also say this.
Do I have to go across the bridge or take a DNA test?
Do you drive?
Occasionally.
Well, there's an Uber for you.
I definitely need
you
Uber.
You can get there.
We'll pick you up, too. Give me your address.
I'll pick you up and we'll bring you back.
Bring it back. Hey, Harry, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to impose upon you if you could pull up. Reverend Perry had mentioned the word voice. If we could pull up Lift Every Voice and Sing, it's on YouTube, and we can just play the first stanza of that. I'll give you a chance to kind of get that Lift Every Voice and Sing on YouTube. But as we continue until Harry kind of pulls that up, you know, your point about, I guess I want to kind of make a diversion, over stretching, over pacing, over committing. That's really true, because everyone here is super busy. And I think, and I can't speak for you, Lil, or Irene, but I think, and given our times on this planet, we probably have stretched a lot. We probably have sometimes had to deal with burnout, not even realize burnout was kicking in. So your point is really well taken, that people need to moderate pace and know when they need to refresh themselves and not overcommit. So I appreciate what you're saying.
I want to also say, Tom, that Yale has sponsored our ambassadors to do the certification or the training for certification for community health workers.
Mm.
And
now, what does that mean?
Well, Connecticut now is certifying community health workers to be advocates and agents for health and disparity in Connecticut.
Mm.
And it is defined by the legislature here in Connecticut that just passed in January. And so it's an official title for workers, and they realize that if they can get these community health workers out in the fields, that they can empty some of these emergency rooms.
Yeah,
they can bring health directly to individuals, you know, who may be suffering, and with the training, make a difference in the state of Connecticut.
That's important. We're all set. We're gonna just take a little break and just give a. James Weldon Johnson and Lift Every Voice and Sing. The song might not appeal to you, but I really urge you to kind of look it up and just to read the words, nothing else, because it was a poem initially. Just to read just to read the words. So we're going to listen to just a little bit of it, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Harry, thank you so much. I just wanted to take that little break, everybody, because, again, there's just so much that I'm trying to celebrate and share and kind of imbibe today. And Harry just mentioned that was the Tuskegee Institute College Choir, and he had mentioned Tuskegee College. And for those of you that don't know the word Tuskegee or could even spell it, kind of look it up. That word is so important to what our Black history is about in terms of independence and really casting your buckets down where we are. And today we're really trying to cast our buckets down, and we might hit some oil, Reverend Perry. We might find some diamonds. We might find our ancestors' bones, but we'll find, I think, some stimulation in terms of just centering yourself. And Tuskegee Institute is really on our map in terms of academic scholarship, agricultural scholarship, even technology scholarship. You know, there was a discussion about Tuskegee Institute was really on the vanguard of producing cars, the design and development of cars. But then the other white monopolies kind of interceded in that. So we must be in 2020 on the cutting edge of innovation and technology and innovation. And we were talking a little bit, Reverend Perry, last time about artificial intelligence. We were talking about CRISPR babies. We were talking about, in terms of this word, research is really expanding. And there's so many ways that it's going negative and positive. Irene and Reverend Perry, you guys were discussing a little bit in terms of your interactions, that the pros and cons of research and the implicit bias or the explicit bias that people might have as they kind of conduct and design research projects. So we have to be involved at every level. And certainly in terms of where technology is going, in terms of robotics, et cetera, we really, and medical research and medical applications, we really have to be on top of it and involved. It's a precarious slope world that we're engaging in, but also it can be a very exciting world as well. So you're back with the Tom Ficklin Show, and just let people know about the event again at the end of this month that they can participate in, and we're going to continue some more about celebration.
Yes, you're talking about the Yale School of Medicine and the FDA Office of Minority Health and Health Equity Diversity Day. It's going to be held at Harkness Auditorium, which is located at 333 Cedar Street here in New Haven. It starts at 9:00. You can go online at YCCI and you can register, or you can just show up and give Irene Saunders' name and they will let you in.
and Irene, you had mentioned fruit. And people, when you think about the Food and Drug Administration, sometimes people will hear the food, sometimes they'll hear the drug, but they don't realize that there's a reason that those two words are joined.
Yes. Because that old cliche that says you are what you eat,
mm-hmm.
is really true.
Yeah.
That we have to take control of our diets. They make a big difference in our health. Eating right, eating fruits and vegetables when we can, make us healthier. And that our health is our wealth, and that we have to be better stakeholders in our health.
Indeed. Lillian, I see your brain working. Lillian and I, I haven't teased you as much as I do in person, so I'm trying to be my best behavior here on the show. But we go back a ways, and she knew when Reverend Perry and I were in Divinity School, Reverend Monroe Thornhill, and then Leon Watts, and so we go back into the mid-70s, and then as you mentioned, 30 years of the experience of, what grades did you teach, by the way?
I taught grades 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and at the end of my career, I was a literacy coach.
So that embryonic experience, I mean, fourth grade is 10 years old, 9 years old?
Yes.
So, I mean, those are the key years in terms of development. You mentioned development and sleeping and getting over your angst and how to anger management and how to just grow and mature. And then for the girls in particular, in terms of their development, in terms of periods kind of kicking in. So it seems to me that you've seen a lot in your life.
Yes, indeed. And the thing that I'm fortunate about now is that I see some of my former students who are principals and directors in education, Keisha Redd and the principal of Hill House. They were my former students. Janine Gomez down in Maryland and started her own charter school. So I've been blessed by being an educator in this town. And I've not just dealt with the educational part of it, but also the entire child.
Yes.
That I wanted them to be the best that they could be wherever they were.
Mm-hmm.
And where did you go to college?
I went to college at Livingstone College, Salisbury, North Carolina.
Shout out. Is there a particular reason you mentioned that, Reverend Perry?
Well, you know, you mentioned Tuskegee.
Oh, yes, I did. I did.
It's one of the
other HBCU. There are other HBCU days. Yes. So you went to Livingstone as well, undergrad?
Yes, I did.
Amen.
And Atlanta University. Yes, I did.
Amen. And Irene, I guess we're out. We're not, but that's okay. We'll go back to school at some point. And that's in terms of the Livingston College. Would you say, Reverend Perry and Lillian, how has that informed your perception of the world? I know that's a very general question, but to go to a school, and Livingston is in North Carolina or South Carolina?
North Carolina.
It is in North Carolina. That was a conscious choice you had to make, and a conscious choice you had to make. I mean, you grew up in
Waterbury.
In Waterbury, and you grew up, Lillian?
South Carolina.
In South Carolina. So you had a lot of choices of historically black schools, universities in the South. But so what kind of informed you to make that leap of faith to go to Livingston?
No, I think what it is that integration, a lot of people see the benefits of integration.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some benefits to segregation. When I started school in Roanoke, Virginia, I went to a segregated elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
But in that segregated elementary school, there was a whole different environment. The teachers cared not only simply about what you learned, they also cared about your ethics and integrity.
Mm.
They also taught you their history, and they celebrated that history. I think that when Black history becomes an elective in America, and folk get the erroneous assumption that there is one group of people that who has superior knowledge or talent or wealth, and that there are others who are at the bottom because of their color or where their origins may have come from, I think that brings about racism and a kind of separation that we see now more prevalent now than 30 years ago. So, I mean, if it wasn't an elective, then people would understand that every race has brought some contribution to the table.
Yes.
And that if you could see that there's worth in everyone, then maybe these walls of division might not be present as they are today. And we see them whether we're looking at law enforcement, whether we're looking at institutional racism. We see it every day we walk, whether you in New York and you try to get a cab or you're being stopped because of the color of your skin.
Yes.
That's the history of where we are today.
And what I hear you say, and as we're kind of like another 9 minutes, and again, we have a closing that we'd like to do, but Irene and Lillian and Reverend Perry, just to respond to what Reverend Perry has mentioned, the past is kind of, we can analyze and reflect and understand, but we're really now moving into talking about what future and what you as a historical change agent can be. And from even in terms of our abolitionist strategy. So I see that this show is part of our abolitionist strategy, which are the cultural ambassadors. You guys are cultural, are abolitionists in my mind, trying to abolish health disparities, et cetera, and, but being specific about it.
Yes.
But being specific about the activity. Any comment in that regard? Lillian, reason.
Yes.
Do you have a middle initial?
Yes.
What's your middle initial?
Actually, my middle initial would be P for Patton, my maiden name. But I have an interesting name. My name is Lillian after my grandmother, Lily, and Arlevia after my grandmother, Arlevia.
Mm.
So I'm very proud of that heritage. And
okay. All right. Well, let's jump to our closing on the... On heritage and our ancestors and ancestral vibes and just what this moment in time means to you, to everyone here, in terms of people that are on their consciousness, that it maybe flicker in and out of your consciousness, kind of you think about from time to time and forget about them, then you say, oh, you know, I remember such and such. So I know for me, I was reading recently about my grandparents on both my mother and my father's side, and Alice Ficklin and Edward Ficklin were my grandparents that I never knew on my father's side. And then on my mother's side, Elder Snell and Emily Snell, Elder Snell, and Florina Johnson. They were divorced, et cetera. But almost all of, many of my family members, my sisters as well, my father, my father's brother, all, many of them died in their 50s from a variety of things that are, we today we might consider to be somewhat preventable. So I was doing some ancestry.com research, and it's just fascinating to see. I mean, the three of us, the four of us, were, of course, you're younger than us three, but we've been around the track a while, and it's blessed for us to be here. There's a blessing for us to be here. So I just wanted to kind of lift up Alice's name and Edward's name and Florina's name and Elder's name and Barbara and Audrey. She changed her name to Akua, but Audrey and Ficklin, but also Akua, Theotis as well. Just to kind of take that moment of deep breath and remembrance that we're here today to kind of celebrate them, to celebrate us, but also to celebrate our unborn generations. Reverend Perry?
You know, we have an illustrious history, as I mentioned, Fred Douglass, Sojourner Truth, and W.E.B. Du Bois. But when you look at the history, you have to go to your personal history. And for me, my dad, who had to go back to school to finish the high school because he was taking care of his mother and his wife, and who stressed education to me. And so, you know, I know I stand on his shoulders. And Dr. Leon Watts and Dr. William T. Kennedy Jr., who were both professors at Yale, became best friends. And I think it was because of them that I went and not only got two masters, but a doctorate, because of their influence in my life. And they taught me the importance of education and learning, which is something that Black families taught their children, even in the 60s and the 70s. They said, we may be working at the factory, but you can do better. You're going to college. You're going to be or make something of your life. And I think we need to go back to that right now in all of our communities and have a different conversation with our children, not as friends, but as parents, and give them some goals and some aspirations and give them the push that they need. I think that's important.
Yes. Right.
It is very important, and our history does make a difference. I think of my grandmother, Mary Adams, and my mother, Idella Adams. They were both hard workers, and they instilled that in me to be a hard worker, and that education is important. My mother is a very healthy 80-year-old. She is celebrating a year now of having an aortic valve replacement, and health is her wealth.
Yes.
She walks every day. She can probably outwalk me if I go to the mall with her. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud of my legacy.
Excellent.
As I mentioned, my grandparents, grandmothers, there, I think about my grandma Lil, who took a nickel and paid the insurance man for my education. It was a nickel policy. And of course, by the time we finished, it was that she passed away and I went to Livingstone. It paid my first semester's college payment. My grandma, we call Granny, who was a hard worker in the church and in the community and took care of other women in the neighborhood who may have been sick, washed for them, cleaned for them, cooked for them, and pushed us all to go to school. My mother was a teacher for over 40-something years in South Carolina. So education, my uncle is a graduate of Livingstone College also. So the push was to be somebody, but you're going to be educated. And with Grandma Lil's nickels, that helped me on my way. Even though she wasn't alive when I went there, I thought about that. I think of that often, that nickel started my educational payments.
Boy. Everyone, thank you so much, Lillian Reason and Irene Saunders and Reverend Odinga, Leroy Odinga Perry, who I know is Odinga.
That's right.
Also a good friend, and all of you guys are friends. Thank everyone for listening. Hopefully you've enjoyed this celebration of yourself. Hopefully you felt the spirit of what does it mean to celebrate, to imbibe, to be stimulated, but also to be proactive and to be the best person you can be. And just keep in mind that your health is your wealth. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next Monday. Harry, we can end on whatever you would like. You could sing if you want, or you could play whatever tune strikes your fancy.
Understand what black is, the source from which all things come, the security blanket for the stars. Understand what black is. It's not a color, it's the basis of all colors. It is not a complexion, it is a reflection of all complexions called human. And out of this blackness, passion flows like a river. Feelings tell the truth. Song and dance and making you laugh are family members. Understand what black is. The breath you breathe, the sweat on your brow, the cheers and the tears balancing the world on your head. Faith is the glue that holds us all together. This is your blackness. Some horror story of lost souls drifting into the land of perversion. Black as love is a light shining on a path leading to the sun, or caressed in the bosom of the moon. Understand what black is. Power you must yield to. A force so strong we try to sleep it away. They say must be electric and plugged in to the sockets of the world. Black is humanity. Understand what black is. Understand black.